This is Whitney, and you're listening to the JCast on Jabberlog.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ricardo with Jabberlog on the JCast, and this is going to be episode number 23 of Within the Trenches, and I am live on Spreaker, coming at you from my studio, or my bedroom. Yeah, I don't have an actual studio yet, but I'm hoping that, sooner or later, and especially when I get a bigger place, that I will have the chance to build up a nice studio for myself. And Whitney to come in so we can do these episodes there, as well as the other episodes that I have with this podcast network that I'm trying to build. Also, Whitney couldn't be here today. She's actually doing some wedding stuff with a friend of hers, and it's not for her wedding. She's already married. She's helping out a good friend of hers. So she is here in spirit, and I can hear her laugh already. So this past week has been, it has been very interesting. We were at the NINA conference in Lansing, Michigan, and I got to present, and it was great. I have to say, I recorded some excellent episodes, and I can't even say which one I like better because they were all really good. There's four episodes that we recorded there, and there's some great information for everybody. Everybody shared their stories. Also what NINA was all about, what it meant, and for more people to check those out when the conference is coming to your area, to make sure to go so that you can network, talk with people that are within your field and learn a lot of things from these classes that they give. Now, when I was there, I had a chance to present, and I was nervous. I have to say that I was very nervous the night before. I believe we did episode number 22, and it was myself, Whitney, Sarah with Washtenaw County, Jen with Ottawa County, and Bob Currier, who is the regional director of NINA as well as with Intrado. And we had an excellent episode, but I know I mentioned a few times during that one that I was really nervous about the whole presentation. And with that presentation, what I did with it in the morning, when I was putting the rest of it together, it was done already. See, the thing was that I was going to use part of the presentation that Whitney and I had used for our 911 board, but I wanted to add a little more to it. I wanted to add a little more in the beginning, and I was also going to be filling this hour worth of presentation with my own stories, and it went really well. One of the things that I added as well was the video that really started this whole adventure. So for those who weren't there and those that did go to it, I thank you very, very much for going. I really appreciate it. But how it started was there was a class that I took during my graphic design bachelor's degree. And I have this explained on the website, and there's a link to the video, but I should probably put just the whole video on there so that people can see it all the time. Now, what we had to do was we had to do an audio slideshow, and we had to either do it with an animated video, like 2 to 3 minutes, I think is what it was supposed to be, or we could do an audio slideshow with pictures and music and such. So, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do something different. I wanted to do something that dealt with my job. Because it was something that, even at that time, this was in 2010, just 3 years ago, I knew that people knew nothing about what we do, and I wanted to do something different. So what I did was I went to a couple coworkers of mine, and I asked them to assist me with this. I wanted to take pictures of them first off while they were working, and I wanted to use those pictures along with their voice and music, so we could tell these stories. So my good friends Tristan Alexis, they helped me out with this. I sat them down and I had questions for them, and you know, they told their story, how they got into it or why, and their best call and their worst call. And I put some music to it. So when you hear this, because I'm going to play this right now, you know, it's, of course, this is an audio podcast, so you're not going to get to see the pictures or anything, but you're going to get to hear all of the audio, and that alone is enough. And it's pretty much, it's almost like an episode, you know, a very, very early episode of Within the Trenches. This is how it all started. And the music on it, that I take no credit for, that goes to a band called Stained, and the song is called So Far Away. It's an excellent song. For whatever reason, when I was putting this together 3 years ago, I felt like this song went with everything that was on this assignment. So I'm going to play that for you now so that you can hear it. And I hope you enjoy it, because it's definitely, you know, a raw, eye-opening look into what 911 dispatchers do, the kind of calls that they take. And this is how it got started.
Hi, my name is Trista, and I have been a 911 dispatcher for 3.5 years with Allegan County Central Dispatch. I decided to apply for the job because I had just recently graduated from college with a degree in fire science. I thought it would be a good opportunity to work with emergency services and learn about communication within a scene. One of the worst calls I have taken was a homicide. I received a call from the girlfriend of the victim, and she was hysterical to the point where I couldn't understand hardly anything she was saying besides bits and pieces. Her boyfriend had been stabbed by a friend of theirs. He was lying on the ground covered in blood. He unfortunately passed away, and after the call, I kept replaying everything in my head. I had been at dispatch under a year, and this was the first call I had taken like this. I was questioning, if only I could have understood her or dispatched help faster, would he have survived? It helped that the officer said there was nothing that I could have done, but it's still a call that I will forever remember. One of the best calls I remember taking is a missing person report. I took the information from a relative who was out of state and concerned about their family member. The information was given out to the officers in case they happened to come across the vehicle or the person involved. The next day when I came into work, one of my partners said she had received a call from the family member who had reported the missing person. They located their relative and wanted to thank me for how helpful I was to them. It's rare when we get a thank you like this, so this is a time that I will always remember that some people truly do appreciate what we do for them. I do this job because I not only enjoy helping people, but I never know what kind of call that I will get when the phone rings. We have a lot of emergencies that come in through our non-emergency line, so you can't always assume it's a barking dog or a parking problem. You have to be ready for anything with each and every time that you pick up the phone.
My name is Alexis, and I have been a 911 dispatcher for Allegan County Central Dispatch for 6 years this May. I became interested in becoming a dispatcher because I have a degree in communications, and I've always had a fascination with criminal justice, and that's what my minor is in. One of the worst calls that I have taken was in the fall of 2009. We received a call from a home, and before I could get any contact on the line with the subject, the person had hung up. We sent officers to the residence, where they remained on scene for approximately 30 minutes. Turns out that there was a domestic dispute at the residence. They left the house and cleared the scene. Approximately 15 to 20 minutes later, the phone rang again, the same house. And the male subject was on this phone screaming that his wife had shot herself in the head. All I could hear was screams and children crying in the background. It was a shocking and horrific call, trying to get help out to her, not knowing whether or not she had survived or not, and hearing the father yell at his children not to leave the scene and to remain next to their mother. I felt helpless and out of control, being that there was nothing I could do being on the other end of the line. We did get officers and help back en route to the scene, and she did pass away. Being a 911 operator, I feel, takes a special person. It's a niche job. You're with people in their darkest moments and sometimes in their brightest hours. Everything from delivering a small baby to handling a car accident with a child that's been killed. It's a tough job, but I enjoy doing it. I enjoy helping our community and serving the public.
Now, that was Behind the Mic, Story from the Trenches. And that is how everything started. It was an audio slideshow with pictures of my coworkers and their stories along with the music. And when I had first put that out for my professor and my classmates and everything, it was definitely eye-opening for them. You know, it was shocking. They had no idea what we actually do. So yeah, it was really good, you know, to have that and to be able to put that as well in the presentation so that people could listen to it and watch it, of course. And I have to admit that once I had it on there, let me start again. I have to admit that in the beginning, when I was putting that on there and watching it over, for whatever reason, I started getting emotional. And even right now, when I was listening to it, I was getting a little emotional, and I'm not sure why. So when I was standing there during the presentation, I'm sure people really weren't paying attention to what I was doing. And I have it on, I ended up recording it with my HD cam so that I could post it on YouTube. So if any of you have seen it, you can see me kind of putting my head down a couple times or turning around so that people aren't looking at me, because I started getting emotional and I have no idea why, but it was good. And from there, you know, spawned everything that's going on right now, everything that I'm doing and that, you know, Whitney is doing with me for this show. You know, it's something very important. And I have to say, I ended up getting an email today from a couple people, and it had my scores for my presentation, and the comments on it are amazing. It makes me feel great. I mean, one of the things on here is, love the idea. Thank you for doing what we need to get the word out. Very innovative approach. Great class. Very informative and entertaining. Go 911. That's probably my most favorite. But, you know, all of this is awesome stuff. And I'm very happy that everything is going through the way it has been. Also, stand by just a moment. And we're back. This is going to be part two on episode number 23. I had someone at the door, actually, and I had to head out there because one of the doors was locked up. So I am back, and I am going to be posting the link here for the second part so that everybody can get on it and listen to the rest of this, because there's a lot more information that is coming up here. So I am just right now going through and posting all the links so that everybody can continue to listen. But one of the things I was going to say was, you know, this, the audio slideshow and everything that, you know, that was on it, these stories, it was, like I said, it was eye-opening. It was a behind-the-scenes look at, you know, it was something that I had never seen before or heard. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do something that would really show the public what we do. You know, it was also something that I wanted my coworkers to be able to listen to and really relate, or to have other people within our profession listen to it and relate to it and know that, you know, you're not alone. We're all taking, you know, the same type of calls, and we can learn from each other. So also with the presentation that I did, I talked about some of the first calls that I took and, you know, stuff that I had put in the written section within the trenches when I first started it on my blog, The Jabberlog. Now, what I didn't mention was when I was working in Florida, one of my very first encounters with an actual emergency, because I had been taking 911 calls, but the 911 calls that I took were mostly medicals. You know, everything would go straight to the county. So I would take the initial call, get the, you know, the main information, and I would tone out first responders. And then, you know, after that, I would switch them up to the county so that they could send out their EMS and take care of the call. So that was really the only emergencies that I was taking was these, you know, minor medicals. So when I had my first actual emergency encounter, it was nuts. I mean, I'm sitting there, I'm the only dispatcher there for the whole city. And it was a small city. You know, there would be either one or two, sometimes two officers working throughout the day or the night. And then it was just me. It was just one dispatcher for the whole shift. And there was a window that people could walk up to, and I would, you know, be right there and have to answer their questions if they needed anything. Well, I had just gone off training. It was going to be my first night by myself. And I remember I was nervous. And I'm sure my chief at the time, Chief Bird, he could see that I was nervous. And he was getting ready to leave and he was walking out. And then he turns around and comes back and just starts talking to me for a little while. And I felt at ease. You know, I felt a lot better about it. So we're talking and he's getting ready to go. And he says, "So you're going to be all right?" And I said, yeah, everything will be good. I'll be fine. You know, if I need anything, I'll give either you or LT a call, the Lieutenant Hard. And he said, okay. He says, you'll be fine then. And as he goes to turn, we hear a car screech up and somebody gets out screaming and runs in, just whips the door open and runs in and screaming and screaming. And we're trying to figure out what's going on. And she just kept saying, "He's hung. He's hung. He's gone." And I can't even explain how I was feeling. I mean, imagine coming off a training, going to be on your shift by yourself, and the first thing is a person running in, yelling that someone is gone, that they're hung, that they found them. So it was crazy. I mean, I can't even explain exactly how I was feeling. I remember standing there for a moment and just thinking, wow, this is the type of job I'm getting into. And the chief got the information and I got, you know, I put in the information as well. And the residence that she was at was right across the road. And, as you can already tell, you know, it was a suicidal call. She had, her and her husband, they were separated, and she had gone back to, you know, to talk to him so that they could get back together and work things out. And you know, she was too late. That was my first brush with a real emergency, you know, having to deal with something like that. And, you know, it's different than taking a call, because when the call comes in and we're taking it, you almost feel helpless sometimes because there's not a lot that you can do. And this was face to face. So, you know, that was definitely a way for me to, you know, dive into emergency services. I also talked about, my grandmother. I was talking about how when you work in the county that you used to live in, there's a possibility that you're going to be taking calls from people that you know. And I've taken a lot of calls from people that I know. And, I think this was 2007 or 2008, somewhere around there. My grandmother had moved back from Florida. She was staying with my aunt, and we knew she was going to be passing away soon. You know, the doctors had already said that there was nothing else that they could do. You know, she had hospice care, and I would visit her whenever I had the chance. And, you know, she started getting really close. All the family ended up coming up and they were with her, and I was working this night, and they kept sending me text messages. You know, she's getting closer. Her breaths are becoming further apart. And I was sitting at our lean terminal, which in that console area, that's where we run all of our license plates, warrants, and checks and such. And that position is also backup for the main radios and phones. So it was about 3 or 3:30 in the morning. And my partner has said that she was going to get up from the phones area to go to the kitchen to get something. Well, as she's walking into the kitchen, the phone rings, and I never hesitate to get a phone call. And for whatever reason, this one time I hesitated slightly, and I looked up at the screen and I recognized the phone number, and it was my mother's cell phone number. It was a Florida number that was coming in, and my heart just sank. You know, I picked up the line, like I always do, "Allegan 911, where's your emergency?" And it's my cousin on the other end saying, you know, "Grandma just passed away." Now, I don't know what it was. I'm assuming, you know, it was just meant to be that I was going to be the one to pick up that phone call. And, you know, I took care of it like I always do. You know, I stayed professional and everything. And we had already had it set in place that once my grandmother did pass, if I happened to be at work, that somebody would be coming in to take my spot. So I was able to leave immediately to get over there, and they helped me out with everything. So, thank you very much. But that was a hard call to take. My own grandmother passing away, and I'm the one who took the call. During the presentation in Lansing, when I was talking about it, though, I didn't go into much detail as I'm going into right now. Because when I first started talking about it, I could already feel my lip quivering, and I didn't need to break down in front of everybody. Because it is, it's an emotional thing. It's something that I took. excuse me. Another call that I took, which ended up becoming a part of a memoir that I wrote for class. And one of the first posts that I wrote about On Within the Trenches before I started, the podcast and all, it was about these two brothers. And it was a call where the first thing I had to do when I got out of work was call my own brother. I had taken this call, and I've written about this. It's, I'm sure some people have read it, but if you don't know anything about it, you're about to hear about it from my mouth. I took a call where what I thought was two women screaming at the top of their lungs, and I was trying to get them to calm down, and I had put it in as an unknown situation because I couldn't get anything out of the person who was on the phone. And so I just went down to a whisper, like I've always done. If you're trying to take a control of a call, try to bring your voice down to a whisper. It pretty much tricks the person who's calling to thinking, is there anybody actually there? And once they ask, is there somebody there? Then you jump in and you start talking. You're able to take control of the call. At least it's always worked for me. And it's something that I was taught in Florida when I did a training course over there in Auburndale. But that's what I had done. And then I finally got out that this girl and her boyfriend and his brother were at a bar. He was depressed. It just had a failed relationship, and he just kept saying that he wanted to, commit suicide. Well, the one brother ended up, giving him a weapon and told him, if you're going to go ahead and do it, do it. And he did it. So the other person that I heard screaming that I thought was a woman was actually the brother, saying that he never thought he was going to do it. And during this call, I jumped into his shoes. I was thinking of my brother. I didn't show any emotion on the phone, of course, because when we take this call, you have to remain calm and do everything that you can to help everybody involved. So, inside, I was dying inside because I just couldn't imagine, going through something like that. But my brother was in my mind the whole time. So after I got off that call, my coworkers were asking, are you okay? Are you all right? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. Like everybody probably says, sure, yeah, I'm fine. But deep down, you know that something is bothering you. Well, I got out of work just before 5 a.m. and I called my brother immediately. And I was hoping he was going to pick up the phone. I was like, come on, man, pick up the phone. Just pick up the phone. And I knew he was probably crashed out, but he ended up picking up the phone. And, of course he was all groggy. He was like, hello. And I said, hey, man. I said, hey, what's wrong? And I said, I love you. And he says, what? And I said, I love you, man. And he says, what's going on? So I told him the story, and he, at the end of it, he understood. And he says, man, I love you too. And I don't know what it was that taking a call like this, I immediately had to call him to feel better about it. And since then, I've been completely fine. I felt better. That's all I needed was to hear my brother's voice. So, those were the really, big calls that I took that was something that people don't hear about. And that's what I wanted to write about. And then it evolved into what I'm doing right now, this podcast. So I just kind of wanted to give you guys, an overview really of how all of this started. And I just want to thank everybody who ended up going to that presentation, the people that got me there. If it wasn't for the conversation of my assistant director, and Jerry, who is the director over at Van Buren County, and is also, I believe, the vice president of the Michiganina chapter. And if I'm wrong, anybody can, you know, you can let me know. But if it wasn't for their conversation and then telling me to apply for a spot to be a presenter, I don't think I would be where I'm at right now, at least going further with Nina. So thank you very much. Everybody who was part of the episodes, thank you. There are a lot of names, so, and I don't want to miss anybody, so I'm just going to throw it out there. Thank you to everyone who was involved. And coming from that, now this announcement that I've been telling you guys about for the past couple of days, this big announcement, with everything that happened this past week and just the buildup of this show and how important it is and how it's become, or how big it's becoming, I should say, Within the Trenches has been invited to go to the National Nina Conference. And this is actually the 32nd annual National Nina Conference, and it's going to be held at the Charlotte Convention Center in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we couldn't be happier. I mean, I had a meeting with some key players yesterday, and this is an amazing opportunity. And I can't explain enough how happy I am or say enough how happy I am and thank all of those who have helped out. And we're going to have a section within that convention center in the registration area. I believe it's Concourse A in the registration area. We're going to be set up right next to Avaya, and they have their podcast network, and Mark Fletcher, who does an E901 podcast, they're going to be right next to us. And we're going to be recording these shows. You know, they've got their own, you know, how they do theirs. And, you know, we've got ours. We're also going to be helping each other out. And it's huge. And for anybody who doesn't know, actually, Mark was one of the first people to contact me when this was starting out for the Kickstarter project, the campaign in the beginning. And I remember his email saying, you know, I don't have the money really to donate. However, I can donate the services. I can help donate, you know, the services for your intro and outro. And even talking to him yesterday, I still can't say enough. Thank you. You know, thank you for that opportunity and that gift, a donation that was amazing. And you continue to help, and, you know, we're going to be there to back each other up. So thank you very much. It's going to be awesome there. It's going to be huge. I didn't realize how big this conference was, really, in all honesty. One of the people that I spoke to, Ron, the executive director with Kent County Dispatch Authority, he was telling me, he's like, oh, I got to let you know how big this actually is. You know, there's going to be like 3,000 plus people there. There's going to be over 200 vendors, and the keynote speakers are great. And my head is just spinning the whole time as he's telling me this. And now, you know, there's so much preparation because there's only 2 weeks left. There's 2 weeks before this massive conference. And, you know, there's interviews that are being lined up already. And it's getting crazy, but I couldn't be happier. And so Whitney and I are going to be there for, I believe the conference is June 15th through the 20th. And we're going to get there on the 16th to set up. And then we're going to be there through the 20th doing what we do. And, you know, we're going to be bringing you stories from dispatchers all over the place. We're also going to try to get some speakers from, I believe there's a couple of training groups there. It's going to be Priority Dispatch and Power Phone. And there was another one, but they're doing some good presentations. So we're going to try to get them on there as well to talk about things that, you know, dispatchers don't always hear about. And also, you know, this is good for the public to hear too, that, you know, things that we're learning or things that are coming up, just like the Next Generation 901 stuff. During the Lansing conference, there was a gentleman there and he was talking about text to 911, and it was an amazing presentation. It was great. And that's, you know, stuff that's good for us and the public so that they know what's coming out or what's coming up, I should say. So with all that said, us going to the National Nina Conference, there are certain portions of everything that's paid, but what we need is to find sponsors. So there are other expenses, of course, that need to be covered. And, you know, we are paying out of pocket, really, but it would be awesome to get some people to sponsor the show. And, or, you know, others, you know, if you've got a business, there's a sponsorship that I have that I'm going to say here in just a moment, but we're selling t-shirts. And, you know, I've got the JabberlogStore.com, and you can go on there, and there are several different shirts now that you can purchase. There is the new version of the Within the Trenches official t-shirt. It's what's been added on it is right underneath the title of the show is the tagline, which is true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them. And then on the back, in big, bold letters, are Fight, Survive, Thrive, Dispatch. And then the website, you know, underneath that. And that's what we're all about. So we've got those new t-shirts. I believe those are $22. And those are on sale. And we've got the 911 Dispatch Zombie Squad, which is a really cool shirt that's coming out. There's also another version coming soon that's going to have a huge full moon, because we all know if you're working nights and dispatch and if you got a full moon, that's when all the crazy stuff happens. So that was the whole idea behind that t-shirt. But as of right now, it's just a solid circle, you know, a black circle with the words in there, the 911 Zombie Dispatch Squad, which is really cool. I have one of those shirts and they are soft. All of these shirts are very soft. That was something that I was going for with Threadzy T, a good friend of mine, Seth Montai. He owns that company, he's a CEO, and they do great work with t-shirts. So if you have a chance, make sure to check them out. Just Google them, Threadzy T. Actually, I think it's threadzyt.com. If I'm wrong, I'm sure someone will tell me. But it's very easy to find. There's nobody else with that name. So go ahead and look them up. They do great, great things. And they do all of our shirts. So, you know, we've got those shirts. And we also have a shirt, a new brand that I'm developing. And it's called Dispatch Strong. Now, all of you have seen where dispatch is considered the thin gold line. So with Dispatch Strong, in between those two words is that gold line. And that is what we're all about. I mean, it's all about empowering us and, you know, really promoting our profession and that we are professionals. So that's what Dispatch Strong is all about. It's about us and what we do. So those shirts are on sale as well on thejabberlogstore.com, and you can find those there. So, you know, that's huge. If you guys can, you know, buy shirts, show your support, all of that money goes straight to the show. There's no money that Whitney and I pocket at all. You know, we do this for free, and anything extra we put into it ourselves. So, you know, we've got those t-shirts for sale. Like I said, all the money goes to the show, and that'll get us straight to the conference. The other thing for businesses, if you have a business and you want your name out there a little more with us, there's a 3-tier sponsorship. And what that is I'm going to have some signage available on the table that's going to be with us, that we're going to have all the equipment on, and it's going to show all the people who sponsor us. So if you donate $100, you're going to have your logo on a part of that signage. If you do 200, you'll have the logo on there as well as on the website. Now, what I'm going to do is, for those who do go for the website, I'm going to put up a special section where everything will be showing up for our supporters. Now, there's one there already, but it's really just in text and some pictures with the logos. Well, I'm going to do something better than that. So if you do $200, you'll have your logo on the sign as well as the website. And if you do 3, it'll be on both of those first ones, as well as a mention within an episode. So, you know, $300 to have that, you know, going all out for this whole week, that's, if you think about it, that's really cheap when you're thinking about advertising, because advertising gets really expensive. And, you know, $300 is the top one that we're doing. So if you want to sponsor the show and have your name out there during this conference, make sure to send a message to us. I'm going to have something set up. And if you just want to donate some money for the show to help us out when we go to this conference, on thejabberlog.com, there is on the sidebar a donate button, and that all goes through PayPal. I think there's another way you can do it with, you know, credit or debit card or something, but all you have to do is click the button and you can donate money there to help us get there. Because let me tell you, the travel and the hotel is going to be huge, and we have 2 weeks to raise. When I was looking at it, it was like $3,000 and that's just the hotel. So we're looking to everybody to help us, get some sponsorships, to get some extra money so that we can make this conference. And yeah, we've got 2 weeks to do it. So, you know, hook us up. We are doing this show for all of you. It's really my baby. You know, I put this together. It was an idea that I had an idea that I didn't know, or I really didn't think it was going to go this far. You know, I thought people would get into it and it would kind of die off, but I'm very happy that it's not dying off. I'm happy that people are seeing how important this show is and the potential that it has to really get a message out there of what we do, and for people to understand us more. And for other dispatchers or people in emergency services to just be able to listen to and, you know, really get into it. So this is going to be the wrap up of episode number 23 of Within the Trenches. And I know there's a lot of information there, but I hope you're able to help us out. I hope you enjoyed this episode, you know, hearing my stories from behind the mic and where it got started, you know, the whole presentation. And once again, everybody who has been involved, who is helping us out currently and in the future, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. I can't say thank you enough. This is huge, and it's just going to get bigger, and the word's going to spread even more. So look out for Within the Trenches. And as always, you can email the show at thejcast@thejabberlog.com or wttpodcast@gmail.com. And we just got a new Twitter handle as well as Facebook fan page. The fan page has been around for a little bit longer, but that one is facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. And if you're on Twitter, follow us at WTT Podcast. That's a new one that I just literally just did last night. So make sure to follow those. A lot of updates are going to be on there, as well as at Jabberlog and at RM2 Visions for Twitter. And this will be posted later on thejabberlog.com. So have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to Within the Trenches on the JCast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to thejcast@thejabberlog.com.